Welcome, everyone, to Tipsy and Depraved. I am your master of depravity this week. Shit.
What's your name? You're fine. Did you forget your name?
I wasn't sure if I was going to say my name, and then I tried to keep going, and it just didn't work.
Leave this all in.
The tales are depraved and spooky. The drinks they sip are boozy. Tune in and you'll hear a doozy. The Tipsy and Depraved.
Welcome, everybody, to Tipsy and Depraved, the podcast where you'll hear the three of us give you examples of terrible, awful things happening over the course of humanity. I am your master depravity this week, and we are going to be giving you three different examples of murder houses throughout history. Joining me today are Chelsea and Karina.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
As per usual, I am Karina. Terrified to be here.
As you should be. So what we're going to be talking about this week are murder houses. I will be talking about the infamous H.H. Holmes and his murder castle out in Chicago. And we created a drink that kind of goes with the theme. It's called Sweet Poison, which, you know, if you're going to murder someone, poison would be one of the many ways that you can do that. It's called a Sweet Poison cocktail. It is blue and fruity and delicious, and there's rum in it. And if you want the full recipe, you can check out delish.com and search through their Halloween drinks, because that's where I stumbled across this little gem of a cocktail.
It is quite delicious.
And this drink is strong.
Yeah, word of warning.
Yeah, we've been recording for like 40 minutes now. And this stuff is strong.
It hits. It hits
on
the
level. But it's really good this time. I can actually drink this one. Last week's was a little too
much.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't taste strong. You just feel it a lot quicker.
Yes.
I think that's the rum.
And we're all very giggly.
Yeah, I think that's the rum, though.
It is the rum.
But why is the rum gone?
I knew you were going to say that.
The rum's not gone yet.
I don't know why I knew that you were going to say that, but I knew it in my heart and soul.
Because you see me. You know me. I'm all Greg!
Oh my god. Nobody is going to get that reference, Chelsea.
Everyone's going to get it. You're going to be surprised how many people get that.
I've never
old Greg
heard of that.
Is a national
drop a
treasure.
Comment if you know what Chelsea is talking
yeah.
about.
It's from
somebody has it's to relate wonderful. To Chelsea because
or if you don't drop a comment.
Yeah,
as well.
I want to see how many people side with us and how many people side with Chelsea.
Old Greg is a treasure.
Okay, but don't tell the people what it is yet.
He's a scaly fish man.
Oh, God. Nobody's going to know what that means. It's okay.
I got a funky we'll ball of tits.
She's lost it. Jackie, bring it back.
Moving on. Bring it back. Let's talk about some murder.
Murder.
So the gentleman that I'm going to be discussing and talking about, there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation that circle what he did, how many people he killed, where he killed them. So we're going to talk about the facts and what we know for sure, and then we're also going to get into some of the more entertaining pieces.
The nitty-gritty.
The nitty-gritty. The ones that aren't based or weren't proved but are still out there. So this all happened during the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago. H.H. Holmes owned a building that was a mixed-use building. It was about 3 miles west of the fairgrounds. And a portion of that building was intended to be used as a hotel.
Wait, for a second, I thought you were going to tell me it's a 3-mile building.
Oh, no.
I was like, that's a big building.
He was ambitious.
I honestly thought that, too. And I was like, oh, I know this story, but I didn't know it was 3 miles long.
He was ambitious, but he wasn't that ambitious.
I know nothing of this story, by the way. I have never heard of this until Jackie brought it up.
Oh, man. You're in for a treat.
Yes.
Great. Live on the edge of my seat.
You
for
should
this
read
the
book.
Nightmares that it'll bring.
Devil in the White City.
I was just going to say, Devil in the White City is based on all of this. It's a fantastic read. That's actually part of where I got the idea for this from. And I'm going to reread it now that I've read like all the facts and kind of dug into actually what happened. I think I'm going to reread it with all that knowledge, and I'm sure it'll
be. Is it fiction?
No.
It is. It. Yeah. historical fiction.
Yeah.
What? That is an oxymoron, ma'am.
You'll understand. So there are rumors, depending on who you talk to and where you read it, this guy killed anywhere from 20 to 200 people, which is a big range. He was convicted of killing one person, and that was his business partner.
But what?
While he was on trial or waiting trial, he confessed to murdering 27 other people. Some of those shook out, some of those did not, which I'll kind of get into later. But because of how this building was used and how the stories that were out there about how he lured people into this house of horrors, that's why the number of around 200 kind of came from. Because considering how many people came to the World's Fair, it's very easy to believe that he could kill a lot of people in that short amount of time.
Yeah, especially because there's no like quick form of communication. So like if someone went to Chicago, like people wouldn't notice that someone's missing for
Send a telegram.
Weeks or months. Like it could be a long time. It'd
take a long time. And there's very little physical evidence out there based, again, once I got into like how the house was set up and what it was used for. This guy was smart. He was a con artist. On top of being a murderer, he was very well trained in anatomy and human dissection, went to medical school. So he knew his stuff.
I was going to say, was he a doctor?
He was a doctor. So he was born. He
can
was
never go to the doctor again.
A doctor most foul.
A doctor most foul. Actually, pharmacist most foul.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we know him now as H.H. Holmes. He was actually born as Herman Mudgett in New Hampshire in 1861.
I'm sorry, bless you.
It's a horrible name.
That isn't a classical 19th century name.
Herman Mudgett.
Herman Mudgett from New Hampshire.
Oh, geez.
He was the middle of five kids born into a Methodist family and had a relatively normal childhood. There with any serial killer, you know, there's rumors that, you know, at a young age, he started mutilating animals or something like that. There's no evidence to back that up with this guy. He grew up in a very normal kind of life for that time. He ended up going to medical school at the University of Michigan, got married, had a kid.
It always creeps me out when murderers are like married because
like the BTK killer.
I don't know who that is, but
Dennis Rader.
I'm sorry. I don't know murderers. I don't know these people. But
you will.
Anytime I hear about them being married, it always like I just
because it makes them
you
normal.
Found somebody to love you.
Exactly.
Even though you're horrible.
Well, Herman was married not once, but twice. So he met
his first wife.
Clara. I have cats. Okay. What the hell?
This was before he got his like taste for criminal behavior. Okay.
He's still a criminal creeper. You're not telling me you are getting married to somebody and you don't know if they're a creep.
Well, neither one of these women necessarily knew. Clara figured it out. So he married Clara when he was young. He was around 18, 19, right before he went off to medical school. They got married. They had their kid. While he was in medical school, he worked in the anatomy lab under the school's chief anatomy instructor. And it was there where he started his criminal behavior. Not murdering, but conning. He would steal bodies and use them for insurance fraud.
Oh, shit.
There's rumors out there that he would sell body parts as well. But that's where he started to get his taste of, you know, making money outside of normal societal means.
Societal norms?
Yes. Right before graduation, Clara left him. And there are rumors circulating that he was violent towards her. He beat her. None of that was substantiated, but she did end up leaving and going back up into New England. And
I honestly,
she didn't hear from him since. She knew nothing of his life after that. She just kind of up and bounced.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she was abused because things always escalate. So like if she was being abused, it'd be a natural course of action for Herman Mugin to start killing
Herman Munchkin.
Yeah. And which, by the way, in the 1890s, it was, or 1880s, leaving your husband was not something that was normal. No. It was not something that someone did.
It had to
have
been bad. Like, yeah, that's how women got, like, blacklisted. Like, she was going to be the
right
town shrew.
Yep. Oh, so it was a big, it was definitely a big decision for her to make, and she made it, which...
See, you're not telling me that she didn't know he was a creep.
She definitely knew something was up.
Yeah.
Definitely knew something was up. So that happens, he graduates, and then that's when it starts to get weird. He kind of city hops under very mysterious circumstances. So initially after graduation, he goes back into New Hampshire. He apprentices under someone named, I'm going to butcher this name, and I'm so sorry, Nahum Wright, who was an advocate for human dissection.
Bless you.
So early autopsies, things like that. Apprenticed under him. After that, he moved to New York, to Moore's Forks, New York. And
Moore's Forks?
Moore's Forks. M-O-O-E-R-S.
I know where these
Forks
places are.
I have no idea.
Let's do a road trip. It has to be still around.
No. I mean, yeah, it's only the 1800s.
Yeah, late 1800s, like 1880s.
Maybe they changed their, maybe they changed the town name.
They might have. We can look into it. We can fact check that and get back to everybody.
Yeah. I'm going to find this place.
Yes. But he moved up there first. During his time there, he was seen with a young boy. Now remember, his wife took his son. So he's seen with a young boy who later disappeared. Herman claims that the boy just went back to his family in Massachusetts, but he splits town before any formal investigation can take place. He just ups and leaves, moves to Philly. When he gets to Philly, he starts working at the Norristown State Hospital, works there for a couple days, ups and quits, and then starts working at a drugstore. So he's there for some time. He's there long enough to meet his second wife, get married. They end up having a child as well.
Again, now I still only have cats.
He is also not divorced from Clara. The divorce for different legal reasons never gets finalized, so he's married to this second woman while still technically being married to Clara and has a second child.
This is why we need digital files.
Back in the 1800s.
Yep. Not around just yet. So he's working at this drugstore in Philly, and a young boy ends up dying there as well. It's speculated that he dies because of the drugs that Ehrman was making, hence poison, being cocktail plug. But again, before an investigation kind of dives into it, Ehrman splits with his family, moves to Illinois, changes his name from Ehrman Mudgett to Henry Holmes. And that's where he becomes H.H. Holmes.
Oh, so here's where he becomes the serial killer.
Yes. So he moves to Chicago, gets a job right away again at another drugstore, spends his time getting his feet, you know, getting his foundation set, works hard, ends up buying the drugstore from its owner and just pretty much taking it over and establishing himself in the community. He buys the empty lot across the street from the drugstore, and that's where he starts to build the murder castle. So he starts the construction around 1887. It starts off as a two-story building, like your typical what you would see on a main street. Like the first floor is retail, that he built a new drugstore. And then on the second floor above that were apartments. Once the World Fair started to begin its preparations, he added the third floor to the building, which was intended to be used as a hotel for the World Fair guests. Now the World Fair in 1893 was the anniversary of Columbus's landing in the Americas.
What a jackass. So
it was a BS jackass to Bermuda. But the Americas, it's whatever. They're celebrating that. It's a big draw. So they pull in 27 million people to the World's Fair that year, which when you consider how limited transportation was in that time, it's a huge feat to have that many people coming to your
city. Right? We're just trains at this point.
Yeah, and Chicago doesn't look the way it does now. Like, fitting that many people in.
Right.
That's a feat.
Is a huge feat. Absolutely.
Can we talk about how much money this dude had, though, that he built a three-story building?
I'm pretty sure those were all scams.
Yes. Because remember, the entire time he's running the drugstore, he's also riding, he's doing his side hustles. where he's
his delightful side hustle
doing insurance fraud with cadavers and things like that. It was actually during his time in Illinois where he meets his business partner, whose name is Benjamin Pietzel. So meets him. Benjamin becomes his right-hand man. They pull off a lot. It's mostly insurance fraud. That's where they kind of rake in a lot of the money, but kind of becomes HH's go-to guy for all their con artist shenanigans. So he builds a third floor. That's where a lot of people speculate that high number of murders comes from, because it was used as a hotel. Guests were coming into the hotel. He was killing them there and then disposing of the bodies. However, the third floor was never actually finished. So according to who you read and who you talk to, it wasn't actually used as a hotel during the World Fair because construction never ended. So a lot of that is just, it's rumor, it's myth from the last 100 or so years of talking about this guy.
Maybe he was just conning people and say, like, this is my hotel, and getting them to stay there.
It's definitely possible. Yeah. Doing it as a con. But in 1894, this was after, you know, they suspected him of criminal activity. They actually were pursuing him for arson, for some
of
sort
all
of
things.
Of all things, because no, he wasn't on anyone's radar as a murderer at this point. He was on their radar as a con artist, and that's why they were kind of investigating him. But in 1894, while Holmes was not there, the police went and investigated the murder castle, and that's where they found the craziness. So in the hotel, on various floors, they found soundproofed rooms, hallways that led to nowhere. They were just kind of labyrinth hallways built in. There were some rooms that had hinged walls, false partitions. They found airtight rooms that were used as gas chambers. And what? There were some rooms in the house that had chutes that would lead down into the basement. And in the basement, they found acid vats. They found quicklime, which is used for body decomposition. And they found a crematorium.
Would he just dump bodies down a chute?
Yes.
Didn't he have like a lime pit? Like it was actually just like a pit full of like lime that...
It was quicklime. Yeah. So what he did was he would lure people to the building. Either a lot of them were young women, which he either seduced, or he would lure them there with the prospect of employment. So a lot of women were coming looking for jobs at the fairgrounds, and he would say, hey, come work at my hotel. I need employees at my hotel. He would lure them in. He would con them. He actually conned one woman out of property that she owned in Texas, got her to sign the deed over.
What?
To this plot of land that she owned in Fort Worth, and then killed her.
Oh, good.
And none of these bodies were ever found because he would kill them, drop them down the chute, completely dismember the bodies, and then he would sell organs on the black market. He sold bone fragments on the black market. There were some bodies that he completely stripped and dismembered, preserved the skeletons, and sold the skeletons to like medical institutions.
Yeah, there's... So he's more of like not a murderous for murder's sake. He's a business man.
He's a murder for profit kind of guy.
Yeah. He's a business man.
Let me get this money out of these body parts before I destroy everything else. Yep. And leave no trace.
Oh, dear.
I'm pretty sure some of those skeletons are still in universities, too, because they're actually like the display skeletons at like anatomy classes. Like that's
yeah,
what he sold
like
them
legit.
To.
Yeah, they're legit. Yeah. They were.
Do they still use real skeletons at schools like that?
I mean, if you already had it, like, I don't know.
I thought it was fiberglass or like Halloween decorations at this point, just like really expensive Halloween decorations.
I think like now, but bone. Like there's probably
well, at
still
that time,
yeah, leftover sense. Of real humans.
Right. People who donate their bodies to science.
Or get murdered and forced to be donated to science.
Right. Or forcibly or voluntold.
You have been voluntold to science.
Give me your skeleton so I can sell it to this hospital. So the cops find that. They don't find any bodies or any physical evidence. They just find this weird
house. I feel like that's not obvious. How is it obvious? Where is
he
putting them all?
He left no trace. He completely dissolved them, sold them.
Like quicklime will deteriorate all of the human body, I think, within a matter of like a couple days. Like all the flesh will be completely gone.
Like
very
bones?
Very effective.
No, yeah. Not bones. Not bones.
The flesh.
I meant Bones, the TV show. I feel like there's always a body in some sort of gook that deteriorates the flesh, and that's why they need bones.
I've never watched it.
This is where I get my murder mysteries.
Oh, it is a good show. You do need to watch that.
It has Emily Deschanel in it, right? And David Boreanaz?
Yes. Yes. I got Angel. Obsessed with him after Angel.
Segway. So, the crazy thing is, by the time the cops investigated this, Holmes got wind of the fact that the cops were onto his conning, so he fled. Him and Benjamin fled to Texas. To the plot of land.
At this lady's house.
Yes, which was left to him that he inherited, but he actually conned out of her. But that's where he ended up going. And then he set up shop in Fort Worth and started his whole conning
He just started
business
over.
Again. Yeah, exactly.
Is he married at this point or no?
He still has his second wife and their kid, and his wife has no idea what his side hustle is.
How
so,
do you not know, people?
It's not the woman's place to ask.
At this point in time, that is true. It is not. So she wasn't involved with any of the business.
I feel like you got to know something.
She lived a good life. I mean, he brought in money and took care of her.
It's
didn't kill her.
Ignorant bliss.
Yep.
I guess. So. Does he still have kids or relatives?
He has two kids. He has a son, an adult son at this point, and his daughter. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they changed their name, right? Like, is that something they have done?
I don't know.
My historians on murder.
I'll have to look into that. It didn't say anything about his kids changing their names, but how he got caught is fun. It's not okay. Fun. It's awful, but
it's not fun. It's you fun. Just lied to me.
It's fun how, okay, I'll just tell you, because he had him and Benjamin had this master plan that kind of blew up it blew up in Benjamin's face.
This guy's
probably
an idiot.
Murdering people at this point.
Yes.
Too?
Poor Benjamin is dumb, pretty
okay.
much.
But he's not murdering people.
No, he's not murdering people. He's just conning people. Yeah. He's committing insurance fraud left and right.
Okay.
So
I like Ben.
HH and Benjamin come up with this plan to essentially commit life insurance fraud. They were going to bring in $10,000 from a life insurance policy that Benjamin was going to take out. Benjamin was going to die in some freak lab accident, and his wife would cash in on the life insurance policy, which they would then split three ways.
Three ways.
So the plan was to get a cadaver to replace Benjamin. So they were going to fake Benjamin's death, essentially.
Okay. Got it.
Cash in the life insurance policy and split. Well, instead of using a cadaver, H.H. Holmes just killed him. He overdosed him with chloroform and then set him on fire. So
how much chloroform does it take to overdose? Like, how much do you need just to, like, pass out? And how much do you need to, like, fully die?
Well, here's where it gets interesting. We don't know, because in trial, it was found that the chloroform was actually administered to him after he was dead.
Oh.
So in the confession, H.H. Holmes said that he chloroformed him, then set him on fire, when in reality, he set him on fire and then used the chloroform to make it look like it was a suicide and that he just found.
Maybe he knocked him out.
Interesting.
But this is after he gets caught. He admits to this. But at the time, he kills him, tells Benjamin's wife that he's just hiding. Like, he's in hiding until this all blows over. Cash out the life insurance policy and let's go. So she cashes out the policy. They take the money. Holmes convinces Benjamin's wife to let her three of their five kids go with him. He was going to take custody of them, protect them, and then they were going to flee into Canada. So she does this. She keeps her baby daughter and her eldest daughter, and they end up traveling through North America separately, but with Holmes kind of directing her where to go. And every step along the way, she's asking about her husband. Oh, he's in hiding. She's asking about her other three kids, and he tells her the kids are missing, when in reality, he killed the kids. So they find her son. They find her son in, I think it was Indiana, in a house that they were renting as they were kind of making their way up into Canada. They found his teeth and some of his bone fragments in the chimney. So we think that he was poisoned and then dismembered and burned up in the fireplace. The two girls were not killed until they got to Canada. So they ended up renting a property in Toronto and they were found locked in a trunk. So he locked them both in a trunk, drilled a hole in the top of it and gassed them and then buried them under the house.
Oh, my God.
So eventually.
Pause.
Do you want to know a fun fact about teeth real quick? They explode under heat.
Ew.
There you go.
I don't want to know how you know that.
I listened to Wine and Crime did a dental forensic episode.
Interesting.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That is okay. Interesting.
I did not know that. That's information I could have lived without.
Which is probably why they found the teeth up in the chimney and not, like, in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Because they probably.
I just want to know that if this man is telling you that your kids are missing, your sons are missing, and I'm still going to go with him.
Well, she's not with him. She's making her trek. She's following his instructions, but they are not together. They're separate.
I guess I'm forgetting that it's 1890 and you can't communicate as fast.
Yeah, you're not exactly. But eventually she does get the police involved and that's when the kids' bodies are found because she does alert the authorities that something's not right and they start looking for the kids.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
They eventually find homes in Boston in 1895, trying to flee the country with his wife and his kid. And that's where he's arrested. And he confessed to killing Benjamin. And that is the only murder he's convicted of, is the insurance fraud turned murder.
He's not convicted for the kid, though?
Nope.
Even though they found teeth.
Correct.
And, like, forensic evidence.
Forensics wasn't around then.
Yeah.
I thought it was. I thought.
No. I think it was very, like, rudimentary. Like,
here's the body.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they really did much with it.
Yeah, there was no way to prove that he actually did it, which is why he's only convicted of one murder.
You only need one.
Yep. It only takes one to hang. And that's how he met his end, is he was hung. But while he was waiting for trial, he was approached and paid by a newspaper to confess. So he ended up confessing to 27 murders. But some of those 27 people that he confessed to killing were found still alive. So you have to remember he was a con man up until the end. So everything he kind of told the press could be taken with a grain of salt. So we still don't know. That's
crazy.
We don't know how many people he killed. It could have only been the three or the four with Benjamin and his kids, or it could have been hundreds if he was luring them to the building in Chicago, like people are saying or speculating that he was. Yeah. But no one knows.
Oh,
and that's
H-H.
Where and that's why his story is featured in a lot of pop culture. They wrote The Devil in the White City. There's been other adaptations of his story because there's so much mystery there still.
Yeah.
That they're not sure of.
I'm just still fascinated by this, by Benjamin's wife trusting this dude that you know is a con man, but you're cool with it.
Right.
This guy must have been like a smooth talker, though. Like, if you're charming.
Yeah, he was very charming.
If you're charming and have that charisma, like, you could really talk people into anything.
Yeah. And it was her husband's essentially best friend at this point. Like, they'd known each other for a while. They'd run a bunch of cons together. Benjamin was in Holmes's circle, like tight inner circle. So
killed his best friend.
Yeah. There was no reason for her to doubt him yet. Yeah. It's crazy.
So sad.
Crazy.
Little baby
angels.
That
dude is horrible.
But Murder House.
Good
kind
one.
Of insane.
Jackie.
That was a good one. Yeah.
It was an interesting one.
It's good.
I like the historical ones better.
He is historical.
Yes, that's historical. What I mean. So I like historical better. Like, when we start getting into the modern ones, 80s, 90s, yeah. I will probably not be sleeping.
You can do ones that just happened.
That's, no, I'm good. It's too recent. It's too horrible.
No, I almost did the Dennis Nielsen that you weren't going to do. I'm like, I'll do this because he's my favorite. Not my favorite, but his way he got caught is my favorite way of a serial killer getting caught. Did you get to that part?
I did not read that far. I had an existential crisis while researching for this podcast today or this week. I was researching for this podcast today on my topic, and I had to text Chelsea and ask her if I could switch because I was panicking because I did not want to continue reading what I was reading because I was so horrified. And then she's like, you can do this historical one from the 1500s. And I said, sold. I will take it. I can separate myself from the horror easier.
Yours is pretty intense, too. I'm excited to hear about it.
I am.
Mine is intense, but I think we need more drinks.
Yes. Refills?
We do.
Refills.
All right.
Refills.
Okay. We're back. We had to get our refills.
Karina used her measuring cups.
I used my measuring cups that I used for baking to make my drink. Don't judge me.
Too late. Too
it works. Late. I made a delicious drink. Mm-hmm. The both bartenders are staring at me like I'm a horrible person who's ruined drinking for them.
I can't wait for you to make my drink that I'm going to choose for my next topic because it is just pure alcohol.
Yes.
You're trying to kill me.
I wanted
so to... on top of the I don't do murder and
she
serial
also
killers.
Doesn't drink.
I also don't drink. Not like them.
Jackie and I are just really great friends. We just drag Karina into all the things she hates.
We peer pressured the shit out of her to do this whole project.
I'm fully expecting for, like, Karina's turn for, like, the drink pick. She's like, we got a nice rosé with a juice box.
I was going to say, some nice Prosecco. Straight pour into my champagne glass.
Is it a flute or a fluke? Flute. It's a flute.
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 Like the instrument.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once I said fluke, I knew that wasn't it. But in my head, I was confused for a second. And sometimes I really have to talk it out to understand what's what.
I think that's something we can all relate to.
Yeah. Like sometimes I ask the stupidest questions and then I don't give room to answer and I start talking it out. Like what? I'm like, okay, never mind. I'm good. Like, I just had to ask it and then talk out my rationale and I figured it out.
I do that at work all the time and my coworkers think I'm actually crazy. Because I'm like talking to myself,
too.
But they think I need input, but I don't. I'm just talking it out.
What happens if I put it here? Where if I put that showtime there, then this happens here and this just turns into mess. So maybe I shouldn't move it there. Okay, so let's like I narrate when I'm doing schedules and my manager is always like, you gotta stop. I'm like, but it helps. All right, Karina.
Just so you know, I'm going to take every opportunity that I can and choose the most pleasing to me, myself and I. Because, yeah. This one's delicious.
I'm going to choose like
it's very
like
sweet.
Your
if you're going to make this drinks. At home, yeah, it's super strong, super sweet. It was a heads up if you're going to dive into this recipe.
Yeah, I am a heavyweight when it comes to drinking. I don't feel like I get drunk easy, but this one, I've only had one. And, well, you've heard what's happened so far, so you can figure out how
lit.
This is affecting me.
Would you rate yourself a 7 out of 10, Chelsea?
I would say, like, between a 6 or a 7 right now.
Oh, I caught it. I
yeah.
hit it on the head.
So, and I haven't even got into my story yet, so that's going to be a hoot.
Yeah. I think we'll be 3 drinks in by the time we get to you, so.
Yeah, another
refill break.
Buckle your
seatbelts.
Buckle in, everybody.
Here we go. Yeah. So speaking of turns, it is your turn, Karina. What are you presenting us today?
Well, like I said, I needed to separate myself from the murder and I needed something from the 15th century. Or was it, is it 15th century? I must sound like a moron. 1560.
I think that's
16th century.
Is it 16th?
Yeah. You're building up to the 1600s, so yeah.
Yeah.
It always confuses
me. I'm sorry to all my social studies teachers.
It's always a plus one.
I apologize.
Look, I only had California public school teaching. I don't know a lot, okay?
Damn!
Raking on
through the California education system under the bus.
Yeah, I thought they were one of the most educated.
Yeah, but I also didn't listen a lot, so it's partly
so it's your fault. Okay. So it was less the teaching.
I remember my English and history teachers very well, and then also my PE teachers, and that's about it. Like, all the other, like, classes, math, don't know what happened. Science, it's not there. Like,
oh, God. Okay, well, we know where Chelsea went to high school.
And why I didn't go to college.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
God, I hate this so much. This is like a serum drink. It's horrible for me.
So my person killed 600 people.
Ooh.
Or more, possibly.
Or four.
Sticking to it's the theme between of 400 and 600 people. It's somewhere in between.
No, I said or more.
I heard four.
I heard that too. I was like, damn, that's a big between number.
Like, I thought H.H. Holmes's variance was out there.
Anywho. No. And my girl kept a journal.
Wow. Damn.
Oh, I love journalers. Oh, she was a chronicler of the time.
Oh, God. But she is otherwise known as the Blood Countess and probably one of history's first, like, vampires. Mm. Her name is Elizabeth Bathory. Bathory. I'm sorry.
Keep saying it.
I'm going to say
you'll work
Blood
it out.
Countess for the rest of this story. So she was born in 1560 in Hungary and was born into one of those prominent families in Central Europe. She is thought to have murdered between 20 years of her life, so like 1590 to 1610, and we know this because of her journals. And her parents were first cousins, gross, which people believe is why she suffered from seizures.
Yeah.
I want to think of something witty for that, but I'm really stuck on that. I know first cousins were, like, normal back then. I think everyone married their cousin, but, like, gross.
Did they?
Still gross.
Yeah.
I feel like I block certain points of history. I block for certain points.
Incest, very common.
Kissing cousins.
I guess that's where that comes from, right?
I mean, I guess back then it was, like, boning cousins, like...
ew. Okay, so anyway, more palatable things of so one of the ways to treat seizures apparently at this time was to drink the blood of somebody who was not epileptic.
Interesting.
Yeah, fun facts. Sort of like a kind of way of thinking, sort of a like for like kind of way of thinking about medicine.
We need to do a medieval medicine episode, because...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently skulls were used for migraines. You rubbed body fat of dead people on you for muscle aches.
Oh, God. They'd kill me right away. I'd have so much to go around.
Oh, my God. But I have no idea why I didn't know that this... These were the remedies of
the time. Yeah, I didn't know either. That's pretty gross.
Oh, wait, I know, because it's disgusting.
Also fascinating.
Yeah. Like, who decided that? It's like, maybe if we rub the fat of a dead person on you, you'll feel better.
The thought process was like for like, oh, I'm going to take this healthy person's blood and put it in me, and it'll make me better. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. Back to Elizabeth. She was
drinking blood.
Kilsing. She was killing mostly young peasant girls and her servants for a really long time. And she kept a record of her murders in one of her journals. And it's believed that over 600 murders took place in a course of 20 years. Ooh. It's like, if you think about it, that's like 30 murders a year.
That's efficient.
She had a good schedule.
Yeah.
But like, your husband must have been like... stupid. Because wouldn't you notice that every time you came back from your war, he was a soldier. So he would go to war. And you don't notice when you come back from war, you have new servants?
I mean, I'm sure it was, like, of the time, like, back then, didn't people become, like, servants or, like, maids to, like, the higher-ups so they could move up in life?
Yes.
So it's kind of a constant revolving door.
I guess. And that's how she lured some of her victims, was people would send their children to her to so she could teach manners. And she would just make up stories to the families about how they died or why they died. Ugh. Like plague or illness, or this one girl, she said, got into a fight with another girl and killed herself. So that's when it became suspicious. Like, people started suspecting her when their kids wouldn't come back. But I digress.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be
Thank you. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. We've been watching too much TikTok.
No, that's Parks and Rec, man.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. A lot of these sounds I didn't know happened until...
It's Jenny Slate.
I don't know. So, anyway, the husband doesn't know that these are happening. Like, some stories say that the husband doesn't know these things are happening, and then I was reading somewhere where it said that he did know and he participated with her in her murders.
Kinky.
So, I don't understand how these people find love. She got married at 15, by the way.
Again, I have cats.
But she must have had some, like, crazy childhood. Like, some people said she learned from her aunt, who was a horrible person, and just would be her servants, too. And then some people say that she witnessed a lot of horrible things. Like, for example, a horse being cut open at the stomach and a thief being sewn into it, and they think that that traumatized her.
I could see how that could be traumatizing.
I think it was the blood that you're making her drink
that could be traumatizing to
fix her seizures.
I don't know.
Well, they didn't have drugs. You were drinking blood, so
just none of it sounds like a great time.
No.
Wouldn't want to be there.
Nope.
10 out of 10 will pass.
Then some stories say that she would bathe in the blood of her victims to make herself feel beautiful.
Give you that glowy skin. It's like how people rub their, like, placenta on their face afterwards or make it into a lotion.
What?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh yeah, people do that.
Yeah, people.
Karina.
Make their placentas into, like, lotions, or they put, like, the placenta, like, skin on their face.
There's a lot of nutrients in it.
Yeah. I mean, you grew a baby in it. It's gotta be good, right?
I'm
good
just
for
so...
you. Good for you.
I don't know how to react to that. These are new things.
Have you ever seen a placenta? It's so big. It's like birthing another baby afterwards. But it's kind of like a slip and slide, I guess, because there's no, like, bones. Oh,
God. Like, I want children. I really do. But it's the stories like this that people just bring up that make me question my life. And I'm just going to... Just don't remind me of these things when I'm pregnant.
We will.
Let me live in
bliss. No promises. Okay, no promises.
Let me live in my bliss. Let me have my kid, and then we can talk about all the horrible things after I've had the child so that I don't know about it beforehand.
Don't you want to know about it so you could prep?
I'd rather go into this blind, have the kid.
Do you like that TikTok I sent you? Hi.
Oh, God.
I'm Amy. I'm 10, and I can't see. And the reporter's like, what can't you do, Amy? She's like, see?
That was so horrible.
Oh.
We've lost Chelsea, people.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Woo! We've lost Chelsea to her own jokes.
It'll happen often. I'm the funniest person I know.
You are. But, okay, so the bathing in the blood of her victims.
Yes.
Sorry. Probably how the vampire legend got started. Or it could be the drinking of the blood. Either one. We're not sure if either of them actually happened. Because some say she only did one or the other. So we don't actually know. But she was freaking terrible. She would leave people naked in the snow, douse them with water, so that they would freaking freeze to death.
Oh, she had a snow garden of people.
Jesus.
A snow garden of people?
Giving ice sculpture new meaning.
But, or there was some that stories that said that she would make them stand in a bucket of cold water outside, like ice water outside, until they froze to death. She could have done both. She killed 600 people. She could have gotten really creative here.
I mean, she had to keep it interesting.
Oh, God. I guess so. When you say it like that, it just makes it sound so much worse.
I know. I regretted it once I said it. I was like, oh, no.
Anyway, bringing back honey from last time we talked, she also coated people with honey and left them outside to be attacked by insects.
Yeah.
And then would set them on fire.
Oh, shit.
After a few days of being outside.
That's an escalation.
I was going to say. She put her own twist on it.
The Bathory twist.
And then, so some of the accounts that, like, her husband was in on it say that her husband was horrible, too, and told her that if she lit the fire between people's toes, that they would jump up even after they were dead.
How do you light between toes? Like, did she put some twigs in there and light that? Like, how do you...
Is it skin... said some sort of cloth and vinegar.
Is skin flammable?
I don't know. I guess? Is... I don't know.
I'm not going to try. This. I'll be right back. No,
I'm just kidding. I'm fact not going to try. I've burned myself plenty of times and it hasn't been great.
No, it's... I think burning is one of the worst feelings, like, ever. And I've only had, like, second degree burns, like... Minimum. It's like second degree light burn.
From a straightener.
Yeah.
Or a curling wand.
Oh my gosh. Do you ever get the straightener burns on your neck? Like when you're first learning how to do it?
Oh no. I didn't get those, but I definitely curled and touched my fingers pads to the curling iron thinking that there was hair there. There was no hair there to save me. I must have burnt off my fingerprints.
Are you like Men in Black right now where you don't have like prints?
I don't think I had them for a while, to be honest, while it was healing.
I had that while I was working in the kitchen where I didn't, like, heat on my fingertips wouldn't bother me at all. It was almost like the nerve endings got used to that.
Like a true chef.
Yeah, well, it's back now because I've been out of it for so long, but... Yeah, there was a period of time where I could just, I would pick up something that I should not have picked up with my bare hands and been like, okay.
Like a pizza pocket straight from the microwave. That's some hot stuff.
That shit will get you every time.
I always put it in my mouth so early and I regret it every time. I'm like, it won't be that bad. Yeah, because
it's like a pocket of molten cheese and sauce exploding.
It hurts so good.
We went way off the rails again.
We did go off the rails.
She was lighting people's toes on fire.
Yeah.
Lighting toes on fire so that people would dance. So that dead bodies would dance. She's a delightful woman. But the horrible ways she killed people were freaking endless. She would force people to be cannibals.
Oh my God.
Wait, are you considered a cannibal if you're eating yourself?
I think so. I mean, it's eating human flesh.
Yeah. So she would make people be cannibals because she would starve them for a couple days, so much so that they would be so starving, and then she would force them to cut off their flesh
cook it, and then eat it.
Oh,
that's nasty.
She was a treasure.
I mean, that's a word that you can describe someone as.
I don't know if I would use it for her.
She also really liked killing people with scissors, either by cutting them or just straight up stabbing them with it. She apparently would cut off people's hands, their noses, if they were men, their junk, just straight up castrate them with a scissors.
Emasculate them. That's another throwback to last episode.
We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, last episode.
For real. But she would also, so there was one story that freaked me out because it was so horrible. She got sick one time apparently and was in bed. She was bedridden and she made one of her servants bring another servant and she bit off flesh of this woman. Like she bit her neck. She apparently bit off her boob, which is straight up horrific to me. And I guess that's why she's also seen as a vampire, because she's straight up biting people's flesh off of their neck. Like,
are you describing Joffrey Baratheon or whatever his name is?
From Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I did not pay that much attention during Game of Thrones. Don't tell anybody.
You just told everyone.
Oh, no.
I didn't watch it. I didn't get past the first episode.
Chelsea's wondering why she's our friend right now.
So, I'm real tired, guys. I gotta go. It's been fun. Bye. Honestly, it's really good up until the last season. The last season could have been great if they put, like, two more episodes of character development in it. Ending could
have been
the same.
I actually watched the last season.
You watched the worst one.
Yeah, that's probably why I have certain feels about it, I guess.
All right, sorry, we're off track again.
Yeah, holy crap. Okay.
It's the rum.
Whew.
This is all my fault.
Where were we? She bit off a boob.
Oof.
Yeah.
Like a boob or just like the nipple?
It just said flesh of the boob. Ugh. It wasn't very descriptive. Either way.
Any part of
you coming off via somebody's teeth is horrific. I think.
No, I agree. I agree.
But she would just beat the crap out of people until they died, too. That was her other thing. Literally just beating the crap out of people until... And she just got a taste for it, apparently.
Yikes.
Yeah, she was a great person. The end of her killing spree came when her cousin raided her castle and found her victims, some already dead and some waiting to be imprisoned. So she was holding them until she kind of felt like killing them, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. At this point, her husband had already died like a few years before, and so she was just this old lady in a castle, which she wasn't even that old because she died at 52, so she wasn't that old, and she was in...
They For walled the 1500s? Her up. She might as well have been 1,000 years old.
Yeah, right? She lived a really long time, considering how much of a horrible person she was, but she...
It was all that blood.
She had flesh. Accomplices, too.
Apparently it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her accomplices like ended up... I guess they were her servants. They always just called them her accomplices. But I guess they were her most loyal servants.
They just didn't want to be eaten or killed. Like, if you're in that situation, like, whatever you want, just don't kill me. Like,
probably. And that, so whoever was right at the castle at that point went on trial. And a lot of them confessed to what she was doing. I guess to reduce their sentences or... It doesn't really say what happened to her accomplices as it passed their trials. And it's even differing on whether she was even put on trial. Most sources say she got put on trial, so I was going to go with that one. And she got walled into her own house, into her own bedroom, with just enough light for someone to push in a food tray and just enough to let in some air. And I think that's a fitting end for somebody so horrible.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And she lived out her days until she died in that room.
Oof. How did they find out she died? Like, did she just not pick up a couple food trays? I'm like, maybe we should check on her. Like,
I think so, because they just found her dead on her floor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which I don't even know how they... I guess they had to break in at that point.
Yeah.
It's, to me, it's reminiscent of... Do you remember The Count of Monte Cristo in that prison?
Never
seen it. In the little flap? Oh, excellent movie, first off. Highly recommend. Young Henry Cavill. I'm talking baby Henry Cavill. So, it's not creepy because I was also, like, a teenager when he was cute like that. So, it's not creepy, guys. I'm gonna edit that shit out.
No, keep it. Keep it.
Good movie. But there's a little flap in his prison cell, basically, where they push the one meal a day that they got. And that's what it reminds me of.
What a crazy lady.
Yeah, she was good. See, the 600 people doesn't hit me as much because it's so long ago. But if you had told me that, I don't know, Ted Bundy killed... How many people did Ted Bundy kill? Like, that freaks me out more.
He only killed, like, what, like 20 people? Tops?
Yeah.
And that freaks me out more.
I don't get the people who say Ted Bundy's good looking, because I think he's not.
He is definitely not.
Yeah, I don't get
He must have been a charmer, though, because...
Yeah, very...
Right? He had to be.
He has an interview on YouTube, like, I think it was, like, a week before his execution. Very charming. Very charming. Like, he's charismatic, and I mean, obviously he lured people to get into his VW bug, and then I had
you've ruined VW bugs for me.
I didn't ruin them. Ted Bundy did.
You just did.
No. I refuse responsibility. Not my fault.
But that is the Blood Countess. Yeah. So she was more of a murder castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's yours, Chelsea, since it's such a surprise?
It's a surprise. So I feel like mine's kind of like murder light because only two people died.
Yeah. I like murder light.
Murder light.
So I am going to be going over the murder house on 92nd Street in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Oh, if you said New York, I was going to cry.
New Massachusetts. And this is the house where it is wildly speculated that Lizzie Borden took an axe to her family.
Ooh. I know this one.
I knew you would.
I know her. That's all I know, her name.
I will tell you so much more. So Lizzie was born on July 19th, 1860 to Sarah and Andrew Borden. Lizzie and her older sister, Emma, were raised to be religious and were extremely active in church. Her father, Andrew, successfully managed textile mills and owned multiple properties. He worked with banks and just stayed way too busy. I have one job, and sometimes I think that is too much, so I have no idea how people do so much. It makes me physically exhausted thinking about how much other people do. So the family was extremely wealthy and they lived in a well-to-do part of town. Andrew liked to pinch pennies. So even though they lived in a nice neighborhood, they did not have indoor plumbing, which was a common thing for people of wealth to have. So honestly, I would have taken an axe to him too.
You didn't give me indoor plumbing? Die.
Give me plumbing or give you death.
The axe for you, sir.
This is why cats.
Yes.
Oh, that was so mean. I love you. I'm sorry.
God damn.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh my god. Future husbands, I swear she won't kill you if you don't give her plumbing.
Maybe. But
give her plumbing.
I think it'd be extremely rare now to not have plumbing.
You don't know.
Depends on where you go.
You could never know. So
It could be a purple toilet.
What's a purple toilet?
It's literally purple. I've been house shopping. There's some different colored toilets out there.
Oh, I thought it was like a specific thing. Like when I moved to Seattle, there's like trucks. They look like big, like gallon, little tiny tanker trucks. And they say, what's it called? Something honey. And I thought they were carrying honey around. Oh, honey bucket.
No.
No. So
that's not honey.
No. I was talking to my friend. I'm like, why are there so many trucks like carry honey around here? And she's like, Chelsea, no.
Is it like Johnny on the Spots?
It's poop.
Yeah, it's
and sewage. Like,
the porta potties are called honey buckets in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, I mean, it's better than Johnny on the Spots, not gonna lie.
I don't know what that is.
Same thing.
Oh, okay. Anywho,
sometimes your Midwestern comes out, or not Midwestern, Western. Your Western ways come forward.
Oh yes, I am not from the Eastern Seaboard. I don't understand things.
I feel like one day we just spent comparing snacks or ice creams. Was it snacks, ice creams?
And then also terms. Like, I remember, I don't want to get into too much details because I think this was just with Jackie, but it was Red Rockets and lipstick.
Oh my God. Yes.
I had never heard the term lipstick before. I'm like, Jackie was like, his lipstick's out. And I was like, what the hell's a lipstick? That's Red Rocket.
Feel like we should clarify we're talking about my dog.
Yeah. Oh. I got there.
So to put into terms how wealthy the family was, in today's dollars, he would be worth more than $9 million in today.
And they didn't have indoor plumbing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
So in 1889, Lizzie's mother, Sarah, died, though I could not find a cause. I also didn't look very much. I scanned the Wikipedia page and didn't see anything and called it good.
And master then, research here, people.
Yes.
You're casual researchers, yeah.
Casual at best. I, like the scholar that I am, I will say that I will cite my source. But like the scholar that I'm not, I got all this on Wikipedia.
I actually did not use Wikipedia.
Ooh, did you use Murderpedia?
What?
What's my God.
Oh, Karina. I did not use Murderpedia.
Sweet little duckling.
I'll use the History Channel.
Ooh, history's always a good choice.
Yeah. I was trying to get the knowledge, people.
You got the knowledge.
Anyway, continue with your... I'm still surprised that these people don't have indoor plumbing.
I know, me too. So Andrew eventually remarried a few years later to Abby Durfee Gray.
Ooh, she has a great name.
Yeah, Durfee. This put a rift in the family as Emma and Lizzie thought that Abby only married their father for his money. Tensions were high in the family as Andrew killed multiple pigeons with an axe that Lizzie had recently made a roost for. So she went out into like the family's like garage, saw like a bunch of pigeons, made a little home for them, and her dad came out and bludgeoned them with an axe.
Did he just not want her to have pets?
He said that they were causing a nuisance.
I mean, birds are scary.
Yeah.
Pigeons are annoying too.
Yeah. So,
not that I would bludgeon them to death, but not my favorite animal.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a live turkey? They're terrifying. Yeah,
they are terrifying.
They're big. They're some big boys.
We have wild turkeys in our area. They're terrifying when they congregate.
What is a group of turkeys called?
What? That was Jackie dropping her phone, trying to research quickly.
I am trying to quickly research.
I don't know.
A gobble?
It might.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be so cute? A gobble of turkeys?
It's definitely not a gobble.
They call it dinner.
The streak is getting to you.
It really is. I can't have rum. This is no good.
Oh, well, this is... anticlimactic. It's called a flock.
Boo.
Boo. Like,
rename it.
Gobble.
Dinner. They're called dinner.
A gobble of turkeys.
A gobble, yes.
I'll take it.
Flock is so boring. Anyway, continue.
It really is. All right.
Pigeons.
Yeah, so he killed all the pigeons, and then he kept buying houses for Abby's family while denying his family of indoor plumbing. So he's buying all these houses for his new wife's, like, extended family, and nothing for the girls.
He's a dick.
Yeah. And after a large family argument, Emma and Lizzie took an extended vacation for 4 days before returning to their home, family home, 4 days before the murders took place. In the days leading to the murders, everyone in the Borden house became violently ill, and Abby suspected that someone was trying to poison their family, while others blamed some mutton that had been left out on the stove to be used in meals for days. So they had this cooked meat on the stove, and they just left it there for a couple days and kept adding it to new meals.
That's disgusting.
Gross. That's so gross.
Nasty.
Did you die of that?
Yeah.
Food poisoning.
And I'm pretty sure, like, I had to look up what mutton was today because I didn't know.
What is mutton?
Enlighten us.
It's sheep.
Oh. I feel like I should have known that.
Are sheep and lamb the same, or a lamb baby sheep?
Lamb or baby sheep?
I get confused sometimes.
Lamb or baby sheep? It's like veal.
Oh, that makes me so sad. You know that they put veal in these tiny cages so they can't move, so their muscles don't become, like, stiff?
Oh, God. No, I don't want to know.
Why it's so soft.
I've never had veal. Again. I've never had it.
Yeah, it's real sad. I only learned about that because South Park did an episode on it.
Hashtag learning.
Better than school.
School.
Oh,
actually, the amount of things I've found out on TikTok that I've had to, like, fact check are astronomical.
So
where were we?
All right, so the mutton has been left out.
Okay, mutton.
And they're violently ill.
So on August 3rd of 1893, John Morse arrived to discuss business with Andrew and stayed in the guest bedroom. And John Morse is Lizzie and Emma's maternal uncle. So their dead mom's brother. The next morning on August 4th, John ate breakfast with Andrew, Abby, Lizzie, and Maggie. And Maggie was the household maid. Before he left around 9 a.m. to go buy some oxen in town. Okay.
These were different times.
They really were. Are these Oregon Trail times? Like, are people dying of dysentery?
I don't know. I don't remember. Again, I'm sorry, social studies teachers. I don't remember.
So
I swear I did go in school.
John left around 9 a.m. to buy some oxen. And then Andrew, Lizzie's dad, left for a morning walk around the same time. At this time, there's only Abby, who's the stepmom, Lizzie, and the maid Maggie at home. Abby ventured upstairs between 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to clean up the guest bedroom for John. In the guest bedroom, Abby was struck by a hatchet, which cut her from her jaw to her ear. The strike made her fall face down on the ground. The killer then went on to strike her 17 more times in the back of her head before fatally killing her.
What? Jesus. She's not dead by that time?
I mean, at some time, in one of those 19 blows, she was fatally wounded, but there's 17 hatchet wounds to her back of her head.
Holy crap.
Yes. Okay. At 10:30 a.m., Andrew arrives back from his walk but is unable to open the door, so he knocks. Maggie found the door jammed, and while she struggled to open it, she heard Lizzie laughing upstairs. Maggie testified in court that about the laughing upstairs, and this is a huge part of the argument, as Abby's body would have been seen by anyone who went on the second level. Lizzie denied ever being upstairs in court, so we'll get to the court in a little bit.
Okay.
So
when her father, so Lizzie somehow comes downstairs in this time. And when her father asked where Abby was, Lizzie told him a messenger came and that she was needed to visit a sick friend. So she tells her dad that Abby's not here.
Did she clean up the body at this point, though?
No, body is face down in the guest bedroom.
And dad just believes wife is gone.
Yeah, he's downstairs. He went to the sofa where he lay down for a nap. Lizzie stated that she took off his boots, and we'll get... She contradicts herself all the time. So she says that she took off his boots, but in the pictures of the dead bodies, he's still wearing his boots.
Interesting.
Yes. Mm. Oh, and also if you go on the drive, I have pictures of all the bodies.
Yeah, I already saw. I regret looking.
Okay.
I regret looking.
Okay, so...
It's a little graphic.
It's black and white.
Yeah, thank God it's black and white. Otherwise, I would not sleep tonight.
Well, I look at crime scene photos all the time. Like, not all the time, but when I'm listening to, like, a murder podcast, like, I Google search it, and if murder pictures show up, I see them. I don't actively look for them. I'm just trying to put faces to names. Okay. Anyways.
I like how we're just making sure that people don't think we're weird. We talk about murder. I'm just here holding my knees, terrified.
So Andrew is down on the sofa for a nap right now. Lizzie at this time tries to persuade Maggie to go shopping at the department store, but Maggie felt unwell and decided to go to her room on the third floor and rest. This is the part I don't understand, and it doesn't go into detail about it. But if she was on the third floor and she had to go up there, she would have seen Abby's body, because if you go halfway up the stairs, Abby's body is visually, like, it's a clear visual of her on the ground. So I don't know if, like, if she's the maid, maybe there's, like, an outside staircase. I didn't see anything in the pictures that alluded to that, so who knows?
I mean, if they weren't spending that much money, there might not have been. But I feel like in those old houses, sometimes the servants had these... their own staircases so that they wouldn't be seen.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
While they serve people, so she may have used her own if they were rich enough or they cared to spend money. I mean, they didn't care to spend money on toilets, so maybe they don't have one.
Yeah, and this house is a museum now, so we could go check it out once COVID's over.
Oh, good. Group trip.
Yay! So at 11:10 a.m., Maggie heard Lizzie call out, "Maggie, come quick. Father's dead. Somebody came in and killed him." I don't know how to get into that. It doesn't seem like something like, it's like a, "Oh no, Dad's dead. Whoops." Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a natural reaction.
If I'm Maggie at this point, I am running from this
worried.
House.
I would be worried.
Yeah, me running to the police station.
Yes. But instead, Maggie comes downstairs. She finds Andrew on the sofa with 11 hatchet wounds to his face, one of which split one of his eyeballs clean in half.
Ugh. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So their family doctor lived across the street, and when he arrived, Andrew was still bleeding, but was pronounced dead on arrival. And then enter the bumblebutts of the police of this town. All the police that arrived on scene did not like Lizzie's attitude and how she constantly shifted her stories. The main thing is that she stated that she never heard or saw anything, which is bizarre because if someone's like, hatcheting someone, I mean, those are loud sounds.
Yeah, you're gonna hear that.
You have to put some force into it, so there's probably like grunting and stuff, which doesn't make sense. So she says she didn't hear or see anything, but then she contradicts herself when she said she thought she heard Abby come home and ask for someone to go upstairs to look for her. So Maggie and a neighbor were going up the stairs, and that's when they found that halfway up, they got a visual of the guest bedroom and Abby dead on the floor.
So the servant had to have used another staircase then, if that's how they found Abby to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm assuming there has to be another one, but it just seems weird. And it seems weird that Maggie wouldn't hear anything either.
I don't know. Would you hear anything from the third floor?
I mean, when Abby died, she was on the first floor.
Hmm. They were old houses.
Which means that they weren't soundproofed.
I'm just thinking maybe they were that large and they used to have doors at this time, right? Because you didn't have a good heating system. So every room had doors to close off so you can heat the room.
Maybe. I don't know. But I guess, I mean, she was never accused of anything. So there had to have been like another staircase or like some sort of reason.
I'm just going to start a conspiracy theory that she was in on it now.
I'm in on this. So with all of Lizzie's changing stories, the police never inspected Lizzie's clothes for bloodstains and did not inspect her room, as Lizzie said she felt unwell and wanted to rest.
What?
Great police work.
They're bum butts. They found multiple axes and hatchets and even one with a broken handle in the basement, but they never collected them for evidence during this time. Lizzie, her Uncle John, and Lizzie's friend Alice stayed in the house the same night that the murders took place.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah. No. Mm-mm. No. I would... No.
Mm-mm.
Be at a hotel in a second.
Yes. The house would have already been sold.
By that evening.
Yes. I am quick with the house sales.
Which, by the way, sidetrack note, when I looked up, I don't know how I was starting off my research for this episode, but I started off my research with murder houses on Google, which is a poor choice, because then I got listings for houses where murders had taken place and how
interesting,
and articles about how cheap they are.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Because they haunted.
Continue. Just wanted to throw that out there.
All right. So it's Lizzie John and Lizzie's friend Alice in the house. Police were stationed outside and they saw Lizzie and Alice cleaning the house. And when John eventually left on the 5th, so the next day, he had to have police escort him as he was mobbed by hundreds of people.
Why?
I mean, it was the same thing as entertainment, basically. Like, this family got murdered and everyone wanted to take a peek and see what was happening.
Oh, okay. So this is like town gossip right now.
Yeah, everyone's interested in it. They all are just like congregating around and trying to get a scoop of the story.
Got it.
So on August 6th, 2 days after the murder, 1 day after Lizzie and Alice cleaned the house, police completed a second inspection of the house. They inspected clothes and finally took the hatchet into evidence that had a broken handle and informed Lizzie that she was a suspect.
Wait, okay, but they cleaned the house?
Yes.
Lizzie and Alice cleaned the house, not cleaners?
Correct.
We didn't have cleaners at this point, right?
I don't think so. I think if someone died and there's a bloodbath, it was up to you to clean it up.
That's horrible, first off, but...
Yeah.
Poor use of science.
So later that night, Alice found Lizzie cutting up a dress and burning it. Lizzie told Alice that her excuse for destroying the dress was that it was covered in paint.
Because she did so much painting?
Yeah. Lizzie was a wreck and was constantly nervous after the murders, to the point where her doctors had to prescribe her morphine, which she took right before giving testimonies. What? So her testimonies were erratic, and she refused to answer questions, even if those questions would help her case at all. Like, she was just all over the place.
She was high as a kite.
Yeah, and she continued with her contradictions of the events that happened, and the district attorney was just eating it up and arrested her on August 11th.
Damn.
Yes.
Undammed. How long after that is?
This was only like murders? Less than 10 days.
Jeez. Damn. Swift justice.
Yes. But not for long, because at Lizzie's trial, the prosecutors were bigger bumblebutts than the police were.
Oh, no.
So even with testimonies, with the paint, like the dress, like burning that, her constant contradictions, and the fact that the prosecutors never proved that the hatchet they found was indeed the hatchet that was used for the murders, like, they just didn't follow up on any of that. The testimony said, like, interesting, next question. Like, they never, like, wait, like, what color was the paint on the dress? Did you see anything? They didn't do any of that. They're just like, oh, that makes sense. There's paint on the dress. I would burn those clothes too. Like, it was just idiots.
What kind of prosecution is this?
Horrible. This whole town is just needs a revamp of their justice system. So the neatest part of this trial that I actually didn't know about was that Abby and Andrew's heads were removed during their autopsies and their skulls were presented in court as evidence.
Oh my God.
What?
Yes.
How is that legal?
They didn't tell Lizzie about it. And when they brought the skulls out to be presented, she fainted in court.
Yeah. I would most definitely faint.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't kill them.
Right.
Which I wouldn't kill people, by the way. Just in case that wasn't clear.
So that was like the neatest part that I thought of, like, the trial, that I was like, oh, that's intense. Who chops off someone's head to, like, present it as evidence?
The worst. What are they called?
Prosecutors?
No, the people who do the autopsies.
Medical examiner?
Yes, that person. The worst medical examiners ever.
Someone's gonna chop off this head. They might need it later.
They might need it to be portable. Can't bring an entire body, but I can put this head in a box.
Put it in a bowling bag. It'll fit real nice.
That's disgusting.
Incognito. No one will know what's in it. They'll think it's a bowling ball. That's carry disgusting. It like it's a little heavy.
Whose job was it to carry that to the courthouse?
I don't know. Hopefully they didn't know it was heads in whatever they're carrying.
I
mean, it had to be like medical people or the police, because the heads were entered into evidence. So I guess it had to have been at the police station.
That poor rookie cop.
Can you imagine having that dropped off? So I got some evidence for you, and it's just these skulls.
You know they make the rookies do the worst jobs.
Yeah.
They probably were like, here, take this bag. And then you open the bag on your way there.
Surprise!
It's horrible.
Ugh, nasty. So because the prosecutors sucked at their job, Lizzie was acquitted less than a year after the murders.
She was acquitted?
Yes. She was acquitted and was never charged again. I mean, she got arrested later in life for shoplifting, but she didn't do anything else. Yeah. I don't think she served any time for that. She was kind of just like reprimanded.
But did she live in the same house?
No, she ended up selling it, but I'll get to that in just a moment. When she was exiting the courthouse after she was acquitted, she told reporters that she was the happiest woman in the world.
Gross.
Yeah. I mean, if I was on trial for, like, my parents' death, if I got acquitted, even if I didn't do it, I'd be like, I'm sad that, like, justice isn't, we're still looking for justice. It wasn't me, like, but I don't know. It just seems like a weird statement to say that she's the happiest woman in the world.
Yeah.
It is a weird statement to say that you're the happiest woman in the world after your parents, step-parent and all, have been brutally murdered.
Murder must fall.
Okay. To say that you're the happiest person in the world is truly disgusting. I think that's what creeps me out about murder is the most.
Yeah. Depraved. It's depraved.
They just don't think that what they did was wrong. Which is scary.
It's kind of terrifying.
Did she get married or something?
No, she and her sister Emma inherited their father's wealth, though some of the money was paid to Abby's family as settlement claims. Her sister lived in a super nice house that had live-in maids, butlers, and a coachman, and I am assuming indoor plumbing. Lizzie eventually died of pneumonia on June 1st of 1927, and at the time of her death, she was worth almost $5 million.
Jesus.
Yes. Wow. And to close up the story, I'm going to leave you with this nursery rhyme.
Oh, boy.
Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. Andrew Borden now is dead. Lizzie hit him on the head. Up in heaven, he will sing. On the gallows, she will swing.
That's how I know Lizzie Borden.
Yeah.
So there you go. Fairly inaccurate.
Yeah, it is. She didn't hit anyone any of those times. But yeah, that's wow. The murder house of the axe murders of the Bordens.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Wow. Jackie's person is the only one who actually got murdered for their crimes.
Yeah.
Or killed for their crimes.
He's the only one that was convicted and hung for his crimes. But only one out of 200, possibly?
Yeah, that still baffles my mind that he could be one or 200.
That's a hefty case.
Well, seems like a good place to end, which next week, or next episode, really, your topic to research will be cults.
Yes!
Ooh, I don't know a lot of them, except for Heaven's Gate, so I'm interested.
Okay.
I'm very scared.
Oh my god, there's so many.
So next week is cults. We hope you join us. Look for our Instagram. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye. That was super creepy, Chelsea.